Welcome to One Up Yours on the first day of TGS. I have Brian from EGM with us. We have Joe from OPM. This is John. Luke's here. And we have Garnet on the line from Tokyo.
That's right. Coming to you live or recorded live from Chiba Prefecture.
Where the fuck is Shane?
Is that the right way to say it?
Where the fuck's Bettenhausen? This is his day.
So Shane's actually, well, where else would you expect to find Shane? He's at a Sony event.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, of course.
He's at
a Sony event.
Does he have a sword and shield to protect the realm?
I think you don't have to have a sword and shield when you're inside the bubble, you know? So they did that back in Tokyo, actually. So he's about an hour and a half train ride back into the city from where we're sitting here at the overlook to the convention center.
I don't know. After that press conference, I think he's hiding. I think he's hiding. I mean,
really? Yeah, you didn't think that the keynote? You didn't think that Mr. Kutaragi had a lot of good things to say about the PS3?
Well, Garnet, you were there, right?
I did not go to the keynote. No, I was actually getting. We were actually online so that we'd be right there, ready to go in and hit.
Well,
the
he didn't miss much.
What? Garnet missed tons.
Tell him what he missed, Luke.
Yeah, Garnet, you're not excited about GMS technology? Fucking engineers teaming up with Polyphony to make...
I'm not interested in GPS or GMS.
To make global Gran Turismo map Google hybrid gaming and user-created content? That didn't get you pumped the fuck up for PS3? Really? Garnet.
You know what got me pumped the fuck up for that PS3 is that already backpedaling on price and already adding features into the system before you even launch.
I could just see Garnet fucking flashing his hands when he said that too, with authority.
That's such an admission of oh shit, we might have some problems. Man, you know, the house that Sony built has definitely got some cracks around it, don't you think?
Tell me, Phil, what do you think of the price now?
I was loving reading your live blog, dude.
Remember that shit from E3, though? Kutaragi asked what he thought of the price then. Well, apparently he didn't think too highly of it because it dropped there, but it's not going to drop here.
Yeah, and so actually, I mean, it's kind of weird because they're only going to have 100,000 units here anyway, right?
Well, exactly.
So, I mean,
are they pushing the back pedal?
Well, because it's a loss leader. I mean, they're not going to lose nearly as much money dropping the price in Japan as they would here. They'll lose, what, 1/5 of the money that they'd lose from a price drop in the U.S.?
It's PR, you know?
It seems like such a symbolic sort of thing to go under the 50,000 yen number.
That's exactly it, I think. I think it's totally, it's a matter of symbolism. It's like, hey, you know, we're less than $500 now, or, you know, we're just over $400.
And it's a gesture of the Japanese market. I mean, there's some mixed messages coming from this whole thing anyway. It's like they moved all of the units essentially to the U.S. and then make everyone traipse off way around the world to go to Tokyo to find out what's coming out on it. I mean, it's like, make your mind up.
Well, there's apparently 200 PlayStation 3s playable on the show floor is what Kutaragi said.
Yeah.
That's like, what, 1/5,000th of the launch? So really, like, there's not a whole lot more that are going to be there. I mean, 1/5,000th, that sounds like a, you know, a small, minute percentage, but in the grand scheme of things, it's got a lot of PS3s.
What do you guys think about this? Like, this is one of the things that I've been thinking about since the show wrapped up this evening, and I was sitting here typing up previews and stuff. What the hell is with the absolute disappearance immediately of PS2 support?
There's nothing there.
There's not in the Sony booth.
The Sony booth is tennis.
Okay,
that's all they had on their site.
There's nothing there.
There's nothing there.
Sony pulled a Microsoft.
If you think that the PS2 presence at E3 this year was slight, it's a monster compared to the absolute absence of it here.
Hey, and the PSP is thriving at TGS too, right? What's there, like, two games?
Actually, the PSP display area is pretty sweet, man. I got to tell you, the PSP display area looks very nice. And Parappa, which Jeremy played, he had a lot of fun with that. So that actually looks.
So what are they showing? Because as far as what they've released in terms of information, it's Killzone and
Parappa.
Parappa, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are the hot ones. I haven't had a chance to really walk through this section of the floor that's right next to the PS3. I just noticed that there's several display and demo areas set up. So they must have product there, right?
You'd think.
I hope.
So you were saying that you were over by the PS3. It's a pretty safe assumption that that's where you spent all your time today?
I was the man on PS3, and it was actually a pretty tough scene because the lines to play the games were pretty pretty time extensive because they were letting people play the demos as long as they went to the end of them. So I got in play on several of the games. You know, you read probably the Lair preview I wrote. That was one of the first things I did. And of the games I played today, that was pretty high up there as far as good games. Heavenly Sword was a huge disappointment. We had heard that there was going to be a new demo for the show, and in fact, there wasn't.
Was the E3 demo?
It was the E3 demo. It was that exact same gladiatorial combat arena again, and that was a really big disappointment for me because I wanted to see, you know, if the game was going to start shaping up to match up to the combat.
Like I said, Heavenly Sword's going to turn out to be the best 5-minute demo ever, and that's it.
Because they released some new screenshots that make it look a little more.
Like there's like open world,
world and big explosions, and there's one of them where it looks like she's got some kind of projectile weapon.
Yeah, did someone give her a gun?
It looks like she's got a gun in one of them.
Good
Christ!
But
that there's no footage or anything of that on the floor, Garnet?
Nope. The two differences. Well, there's really three differences, I guess. The first one is that there's a little more explanation in the beginning of what the control system works out. So I got into that. I got into some depth about how the control scheme works in the preview. Basically, there's two stances, and they're on the shoulder buttons, and you switch between stances to use the two different forms of the weapon. It's kind of cool. The whole, you know, once you've got that part figured out, you can start actually ripping out some pretty interesting and pretty good looking combos, and actually feel like I felt more like this time I was playing it. I felt more like I was in control of what I was doing than just, you know, banging around with my thumb and having shit happen on the screen.
That makes you feel like you're cool. That banging around with your thumb part. You felt like you're like a 14-year-old kid again on your first date.
Ba-bow!
Then you realize you have to use other fingers.
Here's what I want to know, Garnet. What the hell is Africa?
If Toto.
I have no idea, and you know what? Africa is really just a video that they keep showing because it's not on the floor. There's nothing on the floor with that. There's a big theater that they have, and Africa is part of the trailer loops that they have running in there, but it's not like showable as a game. It's not like they're talking about it. It's just, it's I guess, the best thing they could wrap up their press conference with.
I think it's going to be awesome when
forget Metal Gear, forget Final Fantasy, show Africa.
Well, Africa's the future. Don't you? Why don't you fucking get it? Listen, guys. Africa.
Where are you going
with just
this?
Listen. Check it out.
All right.
Kutaragi talked for a long time about the GMS system, and this could be the 47 Red Bulls I've had today talking, but just bear with me. The GMS system, when she's talking about incorporating sort of like a map system and working with different people from different industries, what if these industries are like cartographers and you are going to be playing in a real jungle in the African plains, and that's
the fuck?
Africa.
Are you kidding me? Would you just stop that shit?
You don't want to do that? You don't want to be a fucking wildebeest, Garnet? You don't want to fucking be a cheetah? That's not gameplay to you? That's not next gen is all fuck?
That's 4D, really? That's 4D right there.
Wait,
4D.
You know what? Maybe it evolves into something cool, and you get a gun, and you get to fucking kill all these realistic-looking animals.
You get
like,
to be like a wildebeast.
Look at the...
I don't think it's going to evolve into anything.
Look at the way you blow that leopard's leg off. That is fucking real.
I thought you were going to do something else with that leopard.
Look at the fur patch flying through the air. That's gameplay. I'll buy a PS3 for that.
So, okay. All right, so digital safaris aside.
Don't like screensavers, Garnet?
Do you know what they're showing at the event that the guys are at right now?
Well, basically, the event that they're at right now is hands-on with the PS3 games that are on the show floor, but not having to compete with the lines and the masses. And so Sam's there right now. Shane's there right now. They're playing some of the games. The reason this is just part of like Sony's continuing, we have no clue how to market or PR stuff. Why would you hold that event after the first day of TGS? You know, it's like they're ignorant to the whole fact that, wow, it's an online connected world. Oh, wait, that's how PS4 is going to work. PS3, whatever. They don't know internet.
Garnet's obviously
four
already.
You know,
he's
done
with PS3.
Tomorrow there, so he is calling from the future.
He is.
During the Q&A, they were talking about PS4, about how the future is, you know, larger.
But they were getting
capacity.
A bit rambly in the keynote.
A bit?
That's why I saw it. I'm actually
looking.
Yeah,
a little.
I have Luke's little live blog pulled up of the of that. That's why I was looking right at the PS4 note. And the best part about what Luke put in there is the truth. I mean, where are the games? Why are the games not being featured more prominently? And I can tell you why the games aren't being featured more prominently.
They suck.
Because most of look, we're being hard on them, and the reason we're being hard on them is because Sony has come out so strong with how great the PS3 is going to be and how it's going to be the real start of next gen. And what I was telling Skip earlier when we were talking about this is I've got bad news for them. Everything I'm playing in their booth feels like current gen because I've already been playing this gen since the 360 came out a year ago.
Oh.
So bad news for you, Sony. The next gen already started. You weren't there.
Ooh. Why don't you talk a little bit about Lair? We read your preview, but come on. Enthuse about something.
Oh, well, Lair's really cool. So if you like the Rogue Squadron sorts of games, and I mean, this is kind of like, this is their bread and butter, right? I mean, those guys, they know how to make this whole interaction between flying around and dogfighting, but also being involved in a bigger battle at the same time. It borrows a lot, and everybody seems to like to do this lately. I mean, Lord of the Rings is still spawning so many games and game motifs. There's this giant like Great Wall of China scene, and there's these two armies battling out on top of it, and the big demo is getting to fly your dragon in to this battle and be the force that changes the battle. So it's really easy, and you had the same sort of thing in Rogue Squadron where it would be really easy to get caught up in what you were doing and win like a dogfight here or blow something up that was cool, but lose the level because your army failed or whatever. And it's the same sort of thing here.
Did it use any of the tilt functions in the controller?
It does use the tilt functions, and that was like something I got into a lot. So they had a producer here from America, which was really cool because it helped, you know, cross the language barrier a lot. And he and I were talking about that. That was one of the things we got into because it's really hard when you pick up the tilt controller to get acclimated to it at first. And he was saying that they actually had the sensitivity turned way down on the unit right now because it's so, apparently this thing is so sensitive that they have to build compensation in for when you press buttons while you're holding it. So like, you know, like just the force of you using your thumb on the X button is enough to trigger the sensor inside there.
That sounds like
that kind of sounds like a problem to me.
Yeah, kind of like a problem. I mean, isn't Sony the company that released an awesome square button on the PSP? I'm not excited.
Yeah, so, I mean, hopefully they'll be able to, on the software side, adjust. I mean, if they have that much sensitivity, they ought to be able to adjust for, they ought to be able to adjust it down. I mean, you can't really add sensitivity, but they ought to be able to adjust to it, I would think. They're really into the whole, I don't know why these guys have gone off so the deep end with the tilt control, because it's weird. If you played games a lot, it's natural to fly this kind of game with the thumbsticks, and when you start trying to do it with the controller, you're just all over the place. And so the producers explained to me, well, you know what we found is casual gamers come in and they pick it up right away. And I'm thinking to myself, so a casual gamer is going to buy a $600 PS3 and a game where you're flying a dragon around burning up medieval soldiers before they buy a Mario Party game. Yeah, right. This is not exactly casual game territory. So I think they're off base on that one. You know, I mean, what do you guys think about that?
Casual?
Like, yeah.
Who the hell are they kidding?
I have no idea. I'm telling you, that's what they were talking about.
That's almost as confusing as Kutaragi's speech, I have to say.
It needs more abstraction and metaphors and
yeah.
Talking about user-created content, which is really big and important, like 4 years ago.
Am I the only one?
So that's really where they want to go. I mean, that's where the guys really want to go with the whole Lair thing is with the tilt control. So much of the game is played that way. So, for instance, you can land on the wall, and now you're, like, walking around riding this dragon, and you can, like, breathe fire. But to do attacks, you can also just shake the controller back and forth from left to right.
So we were watching the video, and we were like, this looks an awful lot like the Warhawk thing we saw at E3, only with a dragon instead of a, instead of a plane. And the way you're describing it, it sounds exactly that.
That would be very accurate.
But you still had fun.
Yeah, so the game is fun because riding around on a dragon, burning the shit out of stuff, is really fucking cool.
Were you having fun, Garnet, or were you having relative fun? As in, I'm having fun compared to the other things that I've been playing or I'm going to have to play, or were you having, like, good old-fashioned Ernst fun?
Dude, I'll say on this, I was actually having good old-fashioned fun. There are parts of it that are kind of janky at the moment, but it's really early. They're not even targeting till like a 2007 thing. I mean, Factor 5 knows how to get combat right. Right now, when you're flying around on a dragon, and the air-to-air combat just doesn't really work so much, because basically what you do is you fly around until one of the enemy dragons like gets this glow around it, and then you can lock onto it. And once you lock onto it, you can zoom up, like, you know, dive in and get close. This is where it gets kind of goofy. Once you get in close, the camera shows your dragon and the other dragon like flying along through the air, and you whip the controller around, and your dragon, like, you know, gives him the side bash like a cop car driving down the freeway, you know, like boom, boom.
And you're actually shaking the controller to do this?
Right. So you look at, like, so you're flying along relative to the other one abreast one direction or another, and whichever direction you are, you like flick the controller up towards it, and your dragon, you know, headbutts him or whatever. And if you headbutt him enough before he gets away, then it moves on to like the next part of the combat where the two dragons like face each other and they're grappled with each other. And you're like, so it's like a head-to-head confrontation. And then you can use the face buttons to like claw and bite and flame him. And if you bring him down far enough from that, then the camera pulls back again, and the dragon flies up over the top of him, and now you're into like this kind of
Okay. I'm looking around right now, and like Brian and Tahar is looking off at the fucking wall. John is like got his head in his hands, and Joe is looking fondly at the wastebasket outside.
What can I tell you?
No, I was looking
at the door.
They have a lot to get right.
That's enough on Leia. So what else have you seen on the floor on PS3? Come on. The Leia you seem to quite like, but
miraculously.
I am wondering if you quite like it because you played it.
That does seem to be pretty fucking consistent with Guardian.
What else did you see? What's the buzz right there?
I like playing games, Luke. I like playing games.
What's the buzz there on the show floor? I mean, we're not really picking up on the vibe there. There seems to be a lot of stuff coming out of this event where it's like, this is a lot of stuff we've seen before. So you're there. What are people really buzzing about?
Oh, I mean, the new Kojima trailer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Dude, that's it. I mean, that's the buzz. The buzz is the new Kojima trailer.
And those PS2 stiff animations still in there. I mean, still walk around like robots. I mean, I love Metal Gear, and my God, they still... That's next gen, I guess, robotic animations.
The way he wrapped that thing up,
everyone wants to know.
Exactly. And everybody's forgetting that it still plays like a PS2 game. I mean, still walking around. I mean, I'm a big Metal Gear fan, and yeah, I got hard watching that end of the trailer. I mean, seeing that, but I mean, come on now. I mean, the animations are so current gen. I mean, you still walk around way too robotic. And I mean, that's what I want to see. I want to see guys, you know, like move around realistically, not like in these perfect patterns. I mean, that's not real.
Well, I mean, that's back to that whole thing that Sony's done with PS3, which is they've overpromised the hell out of this machine, and people's expectations are way past where the thing's going to be able to deliver it. And that's really starting to come out as you see more and more stuff that's close to release. I mean, that's just a couple of games in the PS3 booth that have gotten like surprise. Like, I think people are surprised at Motorstorm because.
Really?
Is that playable?
Yeah, it is playable.
Did you play it?
Does it actually look like the video?
You know, nothing's. No, it doesn't look like the video.
Exactly.
But yes,
that's all I need to hear.
It looks really good. It looks like the video as much as Madden looked like that.
Because the video, so. I mean, the one thing about the video, I mean, I think I believe the graphics in the video. It's that incredible frame rate and like the beautiful animation and like the crazy like camera angles and stuff that they're doing in it. I mean, which obviously aren't going to be in the gameplay. But I mean, does it have the frame rate nailed down?
The frame rate in what I saw was there. It was running smooth. It looked really good.
Yeah,
that part was really there, and the environments are nice and rich. That's one of the most polished games that's out there on the floor right now.
Take what I said back.
That was really impressive. That one, and then out of nowhere is this crazy RPG adventure game, the whole Monster Kingdom Unknown Realm. Have you guys seen anything on that?
I actually am
editing your preview as we speak.
When
you were talking about Lair, I kind of zoned off and started, you know, messing around with it.
God, fucking comma splices.
So this is like a monster ranching thing, right?
Well, I don't know about monster ranching. It's totally bizarre. You know what? I almost wrote into the preview was that it kind of reminded me of a certain Rare game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What? Viva Pinata?
No, no. Come on. What would have a game where you were switching between different creatures?
It's Cameo?
Yeah, it kind of has a Cameo. Because think about it. In Cameo, you're out, and you have to go free all these spirits, right? And then once you've freed the spirit, you can assume their form and attack in it. And this kind of pulls on the same thing, because you're pulling the monster's spirits out of them, and then you're using them for attacks. And it's the same kind of rock, paper, scissors thing, where you find the right attack to beat the right enemy.
Okay, but Cameo sucked, so why is this worth playing?
This one has a much more interesting, like, fantasy world setting. It has this whole, like, Technicolor Alice in Wonderland kind of look to it. And beyond that, I can't tell you that it's going to be better than that, because the demo that they give you is a very short little area where you go into this forest, you kill some monsters, take on a boss, and that's the end of it. It's much more traditional sort of action RPG, though, than Cameo, so...
So the game... Oh, go on. Joe had something.
One of the games that looks really good in video, and I was wondering if you had seen it or played it, is White Knight Story. Have you seen this?
That thing is the video, and that is it. We've been all over digging for that, and we have not been able to get anywhere with that.
That's like a Japanese fanboy's wet dream. It's like the whole medieval, like, fantasy stuff, and then, like, he turns into a giant medieval knight robot hybrid thing. I mean,
sure.
Like, the video is pretty impressive.
It's awesome. Yeah. The video floored us.
Garnet, you're totally gay for that shit, right?
Yeah,
big,
of course.
Robots.
More than
big
Lost
robots.
Odyssey.
Like,
more than Lost
Odyssey. Like the last 3 weeks, Garnet's been talking about, like, JRPGs and how much he likes them.
Yeah, Garnet, do you like it more than Lost Odyssey?
You know what? So we're going to do another show. I have to get back to you, because here's a big surprise for the show. Lost Odyssey and Blue Dragon, almost impossible to get to today. The lines to get in to play those were probably the longest lines on the show floor.
Really?
Really?
Yes.
They lined up every person who owned an Xbox 360 in Japan?
There would be no lines
if that was the case.
Maybe it's the nice. Maybe it's the power of Sakaguchi. I mean, maybe there's still a lot of appeal there. More, maybe we've underestimated the appeal, or maybe it's just the power of being excited over it, or they're drumming it up, or maybe it's the way they have it set up. They have it set up kind of strange. They have like a sectioned off, almost like theater area, and you have to wait in line to get into that space to get to the kiosks that have those two games on them. So, I mean, it might be that they're kind of manipulating things some, but they definitely, I mean, it. You walk over by that booth, there's a huge line to get in to play those games.
Well, that seems like a good place, Garnet, to ask you. Now, having seen both of those games, either in video or at press conferences or whatever, how do you compare what Microsoft is showing in those two games with something like the Level 5 game? Or is Microsoft going to be able to compete in Japan now with those two games? Are those going to be the savior in the clouds that Microsoft needs?
No, because you can't just win on one game. I mean, Microsoft sends such a mixed message. I mean, it's so bizarre to be sitting there at a press conference in Japan and have Peter Moore come out and do his totally westernized dog and pony show, because you can just see the Japanese audience tune out immediately when he comes out. You know, it's like, boom, there went the half the audience that's not English speaking. So they've got to figure out how to talk to this market and how to be a part of this market. And then they say just the funniest things. You're like they come up with this whole, well, we're going to have exclusive Japanese market games. Really? Why the hell would you doom someone who's making a game to having no market to sell it in? Doesn't make any sense.
I talked to some of the guys at Microsoft here, and they really are banking on those two RPGs to completely turn things around in Japan. I mean, it seems like the strategy. I mean, it doesn't sound like you get a sense that they have a shot at it. I think it's.
I don't think the two games can turn it around for them. You know what? For one thing, the market here is not as strong as it was once upon a time, because there's so many things competing for people's entertainment dollars. I mean, if you look at where they're doing stuff, the DS is an amazing juggernaut in the game world right here. Every time you get on a train, every time you're in a public space, you see literally tens of people. And I'm saying, you know, if you're in a group of 100 or 200 people, there's going to be a dozen to two dozen people in that group who are playing their DSs. And then there's going to be another dozen to two dozen people who are playing mobile phone games. So these people are still gaming. It's just within the lifestyle that they have here, within the way they do things, they're spending their time that they'd be spending on games in different spaces. And no, two big epic RPGs are not going to be enough for a 360. They'd have to... I mean, really, they're only going to have, what do they call it, a total of 110 games with Xbox Live Arcade support stuff for their console. Does that sound like something that's a big deal to them?
No.
Yeah, they're... I mean, they have to realize that it's really... It's almost just too late for them in Japan, I think. I mean, you look at what's in less than 2 months now. You're going to have a new Nintendo system, a new Sony system. You know, the support for both the DS and the PSP are really strong. Who the hell is going to buy a 360 at this point in Japan? I mean, I don't care how great your game is, unless it's, you know, a already known title. And maybe, I don't know, maybe Sakaguchi will do that, but... It sounds to me like,
I mean,
it's
I
way
think
too
the,
late.
The game's like promising, but like kind of like Garnet said, I don't think it's going to take a lot more than those two games to.
I was a little concerned, particularly watching the Blue Dragon one, that it just looks so conventional, old school Japanese RPG. Wander along, you know, you see something, it cuts to the battle. It's very Final Fantasy. Even the music is very Final Fantasy. Mm-hmm. The little fanfare, and it cuts into it. It's like, haven't we seen this like hundreds of times already?
Yeah.
You don't want to play Final Fantasy.
That's definitely
9
what this market wants.
Yeah, I mean, that's the
do
question.
What?
Do they? I mean, do Japanese gamers want that? They just want the traditional RPG.
And absolutely.
But you know
yeah,
what?
I think mean, absolutely.
But I mean, it doesn't revolutionize anything. It doesn't like if you like it, you're gonna probably own a 360 already. I don't know.
Oh
but
come on! And PS3 doesn't revolutionize anything either. I mean, neither of these consoles are anything other than evolutionary at best. And I think that's what's really coming out in the PS3 here is that it's just an evolution into this generation as much as a 360 was.
Let me ask you this, Garnet. Luke joked earlier about the GSM or whatever it is.
GMS.
GMS thing. The like
GPS?
PMS.
The group.
What is GMS?
That mapping thing?
Global mapping system.
Yeah. Are they presenting anything like that on the show floor, or was that just part of the keynote?
As far as I can tell you from what I saw in their booth, that would be just part of their keynote.
I think the keynote was really, to go back to that really quick, it was sort of just like a combination of different engineering pipe dreams from Kutaragi.
Well, it was
some
a keynote. I think everyone was misinterpreting it as a press conference, and it wasn't. This was Kutaragi going up there and doing his visionary thing, you know, and like, you know, well, this is what we're thinking about at Sony, and, you know, this is why you should believe in us.
You know, this is what pissed me off about the keynote. This, if you remember, I think it was two E3s ago when they first, like, sort of debuted all the PS3 stuff. They did this presentation where they were showing all these bizarre graphics about the cyber world and how everything would link together and all these other things, and it's like, haven't we turned that into something concrete yet? You know, I mean, it was all these like pie in the sky, like totally vague. You know, at least that's how it translated to us. You know, it could be we could have missed something.
Cause Horizon's been saying for 4 years now that you're gonna be able to sell Gran Turismo's cars back and forth, and like so 4 years ago, I mean, it never happened, yeah. And now you know you got to spend you know shitload of money to buy cars for Gran Turismo HD.
God.
I mean. That's
do you think we'll actually get the online playable version this time, or do you think that'll be another delayed event?
I call it the ass-raping edition of Gran
Turismo.
No,
there's way too much of a chance to make tons of money on that, Garnet. That's got to come out.
I mean, what was the numbers, Luke, if you wanted to buy all the tracks on the cars, how much would it cost
you? It was like between $375 and $900 bucks, like on the range of
nice.
High and low.
Nice.
If you bought everything.
So have you played GT yet, Garnet?
Yes. So I did. I did stand in line today, and I played Gran Turismo HD.
And
you know those Recaro seats they have in the demo pods are pretty fucking awesome.
Oh, good.
That's a glowing review.
Okay, so really, it's Gran Turismo. It's just they're taking the visual fidelity so high that a couple of things pop out to me. First of all, there's like this weird effect that. You remember like the first generation of 2D games that had like the parallax scrolling backgrounds, mm-hmm. and how weird it was when the backgrounds were moving, you know, separately. Do you guys ever have any of that experience?
Yeah.
So Gran Turismo 4 almost has that kind of experience because it feels like you can see like a billion miles to the horizon, but at the same time, it feels like you're kind of looking at a painted wall, and and then everything else is moving inside of it, you know? So it's kind of weird.
So did you play the mountain level that's in all the videos that we've seen?
Yeah, that's the playable level. There's about eight. There's probably more than that. There's probably a dozen cars you can choose from. I played it with a WRX, pretty classic car to drive around in. Everything played and felt really, you know, exactly like Gran Turismo always have. They still have some optimization to do. There was places like, especially under heavy braking, if I was drifting the car, where the frame rate would drop out some. And they had a little screen tearing, but I mean, I would expect they'll get that worked out, right? I mean, that's fair enough to think, don't you think?
You would hope.
You would hope. I think the bigger problem they have is that they've kind of, I mean, this is like a hacked together technology, right? And so that's kind of really coming across in the fact that where the one of the strengths of the system of Gran Turismo was always that the cars really felt like they were real and part of the environments. Is now the cars are starting to look at them and say, "Wow, that car doesn't look nearly as realistic as the environment it's sitting in."
Hmm. I don't know. I worry that what they're doing, and this is their most powerful franchise, and right now it's the only like sure thing on paper that they have going, and they seem to be really balking it. I mean, we're just getting like a. We're getting a global public beta, right?
Apparently. And you're talking about the only sure thing on paper. I think there's like all kinds of weird things around this PS3 launch. So here you are on the floor at TGS, and in their booth, there are two of those special made-up areas that are thematic to the game, where, you know, you have like a interior design group that's come in and made the area of the booth look like whatever the game is. Those two games are Warhawk and Resistance.
Yeah, that seems to be the only games they're pushing over here.
You mean the 25% done Warhawk?
No. Although Warhawk's now moved to summer.
Yeah. Summer.
Yeah. But how well do those play in this marketplace?
Yeah.
I can tell you that neither of those... Do what?
I was going to say the same exact thing. Resistance and Warhawk, those two games don't fit that market well at all.
Not at all, and neither of those demos. Everyone's golf is more crowded than either of those two demos.
Well, yeah, but remember that Japan's getting one-fifth of or one-quarter of the amount that the U.S. is getting at launch. So maybe
and that's why it's so baffling. Well,
yeah.
Do what?
The first-person shooters just don't do well in Japan, so...
This whole thing is baffling. I'm so confused.
I was really surprised to not see them, especially with the low numbers of hardware that they're bringing to Japan. I was very surprised not to see some emphasis on current generation or on, you know, PS2 stuff, so that all these millions of gamers here that have been their loyal fans for so long have stuff to look forward to. Because they're not giving them anything to look forward to. If they're only bringing 100,000 units of hardware, and even with those 100,000 units of hardware, there's not this, oh my God, I've got to have it game, and there's nothing for the millions who have PS2s, I think we hit it on the head the other day. They're just really, really saying, you know what, we're going to go after North America, and we're going to let Nintendo have Japan for now.
That stunned silence there.
I mean, I don't even know what to say at this point, really, with them. I'm so confused.
Yeah, I mean, this is just you know, for those of you playing along at home, this is how things went tonight. It was like everyone gathered around their computers at 6 o'clock at 6 o'clock Pacific time when the press counter the keynote started, and everyone's pounding their refresh button, and it was like, okay, get to the point. Okay, it's over. It's like, what? And everyone walked out of their offices and we're like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah. And it's now it's now 11 hours later. We're doing this podcast at 5 in the morning. We've been up all night waiting for something to come out of nowhere.
I keep thinking, I'm like, okay,
when's it going to drop?
When's the real announcement going to happen? When's the real press conference? Like, okay, what's this, you know, the super secret game that we're all going to hear about? It's going to be so great. And, you know, everyone on PS3. And that never happened.
The price drop, okay, that's fine.
But it doesn't affect
us. But as far as we know, it's just for Japan.
I'm selfish. No, it doesn't affect us.
HDMI is very big. Adding HDMI into both units is a very big deal, especially when combined with a definite price drop in Japan, possible price drop elsewhere.
It is and it isn't. It is because it's a great feature to have in both units, and I'm really glad that they're doing it on the bottom end unit. But that being said, the kind of person who's an early enough adopter to buy a PS3 probably already owns an HDTV, and there's a good chance that HDTV doesn't have an HDMI connector on it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. I mean, I think it's future-proofing the system, you know, but
yeah,
that's about it. I don't think it's smart. Yeah, it is.
One of the things I could...
It's something they should have done back in May. When they announced it back in May.
But it's just that when you look at it now, there's no qualitative difference between the two. It's like you look at it this way now, and all the things that the 60 gig version has that the 20 gig version doesn't are really all just you know, bonus features. There's nothing that's important that you really need. You know, I mean, the without the HDMI, the highest value thing in the higher end unit becomes the Wi-Fi, which for most people, you know. Who has the launch window is a different story, but when you're talking about long-term penetration, like how many people at home have set up their own wireless networks, and if they have set up a wireless network, don't have, you know, an extra, you know, wireless thing lying around or an extra router lying around or whatever, you know, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I don't know.
I mean, it's somewhat. It's changed things a little bit. I mean, after E3, we were all criticizing them for taking so much out. And now, I mean, they've put something back. One of the things that everyone was complaining about back in. But it is starting to look like, well, why have two different packs? Why mm-hmm. why not just have one? You know, right. I mean,
it's really hardware. It's hard drive size now, right?
Right. Yeah. That and the Wi-Fi thing.
And the
Chrome trim.
And the memory card slot.
Which looks ugly, Garnet.
Yeah, the Chrome trim looks kind of, I mean, to me, kind of messes up the aesthetic of the box.
That's it.
Yeah.
Tard pack for Garnet. Confirmed on one up yours.
I like the low end version myself as well. I think it's pretty.
So John and Joe and other folks who are around at PS, I don't know how much Brian and Luke, you guys kept up with the PS launch, but go all the way back to when PlayStation came out.
Because they're young whippersnappers.
Yeah, we're young guys. Go ahead, Garnet.
I mean, in terms of having been like in close with it, what was it like? And even I wasn't doing this back then. What was it like at TGS when Sony was preparing to enter this market for the first time and showing a first PlayStation?
Well, everything. I mean, it was different back then because there was a big leap in technology. Everything was going 3D. There was Ridge Racer. There was the first wave of that. I mean, that was very different. The PS2, I think, is a more apt comparison. And that was a fuck ton of stuff that was like, look how much better this looks than everything you're used to.
I mean, it was every other day you turned around and it was a megaton. You know? I mean, it was every single, you know, at least once a week there was some huge revelation that was like, oh my God, this is awesome.
So what I want to know from Sony out of this TGS is we've essentially been getting three messages from Sony in one way or another over the past 6 months. And that is that the PSP is still big. We're going to make it a success with lots of support. The PS2 is the biggest, most powerful gaming platform in the world, and we're going to continue to support it. And PS3, megaton announcement, it's going to be fantastic. And from what you're saying from Japan right now, I'm not hearing
one out of three.
Any of those.
I'm hearing jelly
PSP,
bean.
Maybe.
PSPs, there's a lot of PSP support, looks like.
Yeah, PSP, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Crisis Core at last.
Yeah, finally.
Five seconds of gameplay footage.
That'll be like 2008.
Garnet, where's Resident Evil 5? Microsoft marketing exclusive?
You know, the thing about Crisis Core, just to jump on that for a second, is if you walk through the Square booth, there's a lot of energy around the DS stuff.
Of course.
Well,
DS energy in Japan? Do you have any other fucking breaking news for us?
I'm just saying.
Live from Tokyo, it's Captain Obvious. No, really, where's Resident Evil 5? Did you find it?
No, I haven't. No, I'm going to head over to the Microsoft part tomorrow.
Devil May Cry 4, which I could have thought was Devil May Cry 3, and I would have believed you. Because the game looks like a
I was talking to Ryan from Game Videos earlier on. He said that watching the videos online doesn't do that game justice, and that in HD it really is pretty mind blowing.
All right,
have you seen Devil May Cry, Garnet?
Yeah, it's directly across from the Sony booth, and I actually hung out there and watched it for about 10 minutes. And I will definitely be playing that because I remember really fondly, you know, several E3s ago playing the first Devil May Cry, like that first moment when you took the sword and whipped it around and blew a guy up in the air and then like juggled him with the guns. And this game, man, it comes close to having that same vibe. But
what's different?
Is it just evoking the original game in a prettier way, or is it evoking the original game in that it gives you that? Something new in a visceral sense. I mean,
it's evoking the original game in it's the first way you put it, evoking the original game more than anything else. And I think
that's really why
PS3 is facing the kind of backlashes, because you're looking at games and you're saying to yourself, wow, this looks like the next evolution of this game, and then it doesn't look like anything that's, you know, phenomenal. And my God.
You know, the funny thing is the exact same thing happened with the PS2 launch, but the games looked so different. There was such a leap from PS1 to PS2 that it was like, okay, the upgraded Madden or the upgraded
or even like even when we saw SSX for the first time, it was like, whoa.
Yeah. And those
we got to be closing in on the law of diminishing returns on this stuff, right?
Right, absolutely. And I think Sony's definitely suffering from that. And I think, you know, no matter how much they say that being first to market isn't an advantage, I think what Microsoft have done is steal their thunder by, you know, going to HD first and going, you know, more detail, more polys. And I think just from listening to us talk tonight, I mean, it is, middle of the night. It's 5 a.m. We're really tired. And very cynical as a result of
I see myself just like, like games. I still do
We were expecting something spectacular and special from TGS.
I was expecting one game for PS3, aside from Metal Gear and Final Fantasy, people hadn't heard about yet, or just a big surprise and go, holy shit. You know, like everybody in the show floor is talking about it, and everybody in the message boards is yapping about it.
I was confident that there would be the game that would really make like everyone want a PS3.
Like, I was thinking maybe the Shadow of the Colossus team is working on something new they would show, or something.
From watching the boards, I think the one thing that does seem to have got everyone all juiced up is White Knight.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
but
I gotta go back to my desk and download that before I leave.
But I was expecting something. I think like you said. I was expecting something that we hadn't heard about that was phenomenal, that was playable, and was right there and was going to be the, you know what, by the way, we have one more thing we'd like to show you.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was another thing about the keynote. I kept waiting for, you know, I was hoping there was going to be like some sort of Jobs moment as it got later and later of like, oh, there's just one more thing, and there wasn't.
Yeah, there was.
So, John,
there was a Q&A, like inside the actor studio style, about how Ken Kutaragi felt as a young boy when he wanted to be an engineer. You weren't just intrigued by that?
Ken,
you didn't think that was the most interesting shit ever? That didn't sell you a PS3?
Ken,
really?
Ken, you're magnificent. How do you feel about being so magnificent?
That didn't do it for me the first time I watched it on TV on Biography Channel.
On the A&E biography, the story of Ken Kutaragi.
Yeah.
The reason I was asking about the PlayStation analogy was that original PlayStation came out and its launch lineup was pretty weak, and it was a long time before the first generation of
But remember
games.
When the PlayStation came out, I mean, the two games that everyone remembers from the, like, you know, when that first hit was Ridge Racer and Battle Arena Toshinden, which, regardless of how you feel about the gameplay, was unlike anything you'd ever seen on a console before. Exactly. I mean, we'd had some 3D stuff on the Genesis and the SNES with the, you know, with the FX chip in the SNES and the, whatever the fuck it was called in the Genesis to play Virtual Racing.
I remember trading.
But it was like, oh my God, look at Toshinden.
I saw Toshinden traded in my Saturn right that day.
I still can't believe I did that, but I did. What do you think the chances are that the PS3 is powerful enough that in 6 months or 12 months from now, games finally start arriving that actually show off why it's...
The PS3 and the Xbox 360 are more than powerful.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know,
I mean, look at Gears of War, look at Bioshock, the Wii is probably
powerful enough, judging from the way Zelda looks, to continue to do things that would really... Well, I think what everyone wants is more than just something pretty. It's like, show us the reason. You know, I mean, it's a cliche now because everyone's said it so many times, but what is the $600 game? But, you know, what the fuck is it?
It's Africa.
Africa.
You're dead set on Africa, huh?
Dead set.
It's a very majestic video.
I mean, think about it. That's how they ended their press conference or whatever the hell it was.
without explaining what the fuck it is.
Realistic hippopotamuses. what's the plural? Hippopotami?
Yes.
I mean, that's
majestic, and the way the zebra just like shakes off the fly.
I mean, they sure up E3. I didn't think they could do any worse than E3. I didn't think they'd do any worse than E3, and this is just like makes E3 look like, you know, it was like the best press conference ever. I mean, this was terrible.
Yeah, I don't remember. Nothing. I was reading either a message board or one of the sites, and someone got up there going, you know, like, you may have been watching at home or reading along at home and thinking, wow, this kind of looks worse than E3-06. That can't possibly be right. And the guy was like, it's much, much worse.
Yeah.
And that was really soul-crushing.
I mean, 'cause when I heard they ended with Africa, I thought it was like, okay, maybe that's like a joke. Like, that was like a joke, and then they come out and show like a real game or something.
Is this
like
the beginning of the end?
Like the encore.
Has the end already begun?
No.
I don't think we can say that till next year when you see like the big heavy hitters.
Here's the thing. The PS3, it really is starting to look like, I mean, I think you've said this a few times, John, that the PS3 is not really launching until next year.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
We're getting a sneak preview.
Pre-launch awareness program where they shove off a million units into the channel and charge you money for them.
Yep. So come on. Perfectly.
How much does that resemble the original PlayStation launch? The 1,000 units.
It resembles more PS2, I thought.
PS2
launched with Madden and SSX. That's about it.
The PS2 had a huge launch lineup.
Yeah, but
there was nothing good. Yeah.
It was
bad.
But
they had games in the pipe sooner.
And Phantom Machine.
PS1, I remember PS1 came out, and then it seemed like there was 8 months where if you didn't buy one right when it came out, you didn't buy one because there was nothing new coming out. Mm-hmm. And then there was Tekken.
Tekken came out soon after launch. I mean, there are stuff after launch. I don't know. I think this is more PS2 than PS1.
And those were those great From Software RPGs that we had to endure.
Eternal Ring.
Oh, God, yes. So awesome.
Wow.
So, Garnet, what are you going to go see tomorrow?
Tomorrow I'm going to definitely get over into the Microsoft booth, and we absolutely have to. You know, I have to see Lost Odyssey after talking about it and getting excited about it at their thing. I need to get over, and I want to see DOA X2. I want to see Blue Dragon.
Why? You really want to see DOA?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh,
you're missing your wife?
You need to fill up the spank tank.
I'd like to welcome Suzanne to the program. Good morning, Suzanne. How are you doing? We're here with your husband.
Hey,
Garnet,
we can call her. She's probably up. It's 5 in the morning.
No, I mean, because those are the titles. Those are the titles that you want to go over to the Xbox booth and see, right? I mean, those are like the three big titles that they showed at their presentation. Those are the things that are stand out above and beyond whatever else is over there.
And anything on DS, seeing as it's so powerful there?
You know what? Actually, I stopped and played Front Mission today because Jeremy had talked about it, and that actually was the most fun game that I played today.
Well, after we heard you describe Lair, I can't imagine anything being more fun.
Fuck.
After I heard a 15-minute discussion on the way you waggle the PS3 controller with Lair, it made me say, wow.
Hey, Skip, can you hook a brother up here? I think Luke needs to be on the Lair review for us.
Sure.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Hey, just a sec. Garnet, can you smell that? Can you smell it in Japan? It's blood, and it's all over the road. You know what that means, Garnet. Road trip to Fantasyland. It's virgin blood.
What the fuck are you talking about?
It smells so good, paved on the road.
I don't know. It's
what the hell?
This is not the first time I've heard him say this.
Now it's, the road to...
It's 10 after 5
yeah,
the morning.
Busted this out on the EGF
podcast.
Those of
you on the East Coast are already awake.
The road to Fantasyland is paved with the blood of virgins, John.
Wrap it up, maybe.
Is it really?
Oh, wow.
Well, on that note... So
you don't have to if it's with a virgin.
Shush, Luke.
Are you done now?
Yeah, I'm pretty much done.
You're done.
I'm about fucking done.
Garnet, are we going to be able to call you tomorrow?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we'll get together tomorrow
for sure.
All right, find Shane.
I will round up Shane.
Because Shane really does need to face the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, he's hiding.
I got news for you. He's not facing the music.
So he's
not even hearing the music.
And we're doing it at some dumb time for you tomorrow. Some fucking ignorant time for you guys.
What, like middle of the afternoon or something?
3 hours.
No, like,
Yeah, it'll be after my nap.
Not 5 a.m. for us. How about that?
Not 5 a.m. for you.
Not even early evening for us, actually. Like, it's middle afternoon us. It's like, it's about 3 a.m. for you, actually, probably. That sounds good.
All right, we're gonna wrap it up now. Thanks, Garnet. We'll come back tomorrow with more stuff from TGS. And for now, that's it. We're done.